Okay, today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Daled, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah, although it isn't clear precisely how the Halakha Mishnah begins. You'll notice that in parentheses, it begins with the words, Ha'omer Yevarachucha Tovim Hareze Darkei Minut. Now, that certainly seems to be part of the previous Mishnah, because that's what we were talking about, things that are inappropriate, where Mishat Kimoto and things like that, and indeed, many of the Rishonim, including the Rif, have this as part of the previous Mishnah. But what's interesting is that it doesn't appear bichlal in many of the old Mishnayos, and I would suspect that the reason is because this is a reference to Christianity, Areze Darkei Minut, and therefore was taken out by the censor. The reason I think that is because the idea of the saints praising the Lord, praise the Lord, which is Yevarachucha Tovim, is a Christian idea that only the saints are able to be the ones that are able to be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So somebody who says those words, besides that, we don't even use those kind of words, the saints, the Tovim, what the heck. So that shows that the guy is nota a little bit to Christianity. That seems to be the basic meaning of it. And then getting on to the new sugya of our Mishnah, Ha'over lifnei ha-teva v'ta'a, yavor ha-acher tachta, v'lo yesarvan ba'ota sha'a. Somebody who made a mistake, and he's the Shliach Tzibur, and he's stuck. He can't move on. Of course, in those days when they didn't have Sidurim, this can very easily happen. The guy has a little bit of stage fright. He's sitting there in front of everybody. He lost his way. And I've actually seen this happen quite a few times, in which even with a sitter or somebody saying Kaddish, he gets completely confused, and he just sits there. He can't move on. So at that point, somebody else should go take over. And there shall be no hesitation. There's no sarvanut. Now, normally, we try to indicate that we don't really feel like we're on a madrega to be the ones that should be the Shliach Tzibur, and we don't push our way in for sure. And even when somebody asks, would you like to daven? No, let somebody else daven. That's called a siruv. But in this case, since it's very inappropriate for a tzibur to be sitting there without the Shliach Tzibur being able to daven, it's actually, the first guy who jumps up and takes his place is really Mishubach. Where does he begin? He starts not at the beginning again, so it seems to be saying, but he starts at the beginning of the bracha that this person who broke down, where he broke down. Somebody who is the Shliach Tzibur, lo ya'aneh amen acharei kohanim mipnei atiruf. When he is saying over the various brachas of Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim say v'chuneka or whatever, he should not say amen. Because if he says amen, he may lose track of where he was holding, and then he'll say the wrong bracha, because he's the one that has to be makri the Kohanim. And because of that, he shouldn't say amen. Furthermore, im ein sham kohen elohu, and even if he's the only kohen in the shul, if he's the shliach tzibur, he should not turn around and say birkat kohanim. But if im avtachato shunoseh et kapav v'chozer letvilato rashai, if however he is so convinced that he is not going to be affected by getting confused, then he is allowed to be the Kohen. Normally, when somebody is asked to be the Shliach Tzibur, he should refuse initially. And if he just jumps up and says, well, certainly, I mean, it's all very nice. he's a good Sholent, but he lacks salt. There's a certain amount of sophistication and propriety that he's missing. If he gives you the long, you know, he keeps refusing, then he's like a cholent that you put way too much salt in. Enough is enough already. Okay, you did your thing. You acted appropriately. Now get up and do your job, for God's sake. Stop making such a big fuss about it. What do you think, an opera singer? So Kate Saduo says, what is appropriate? Okay, so the first time you're asked to go up, you should say, no, find somebody else. And when he comes back and says to you, listen, we need you to go up, you should like hesitate, mehavhev. He should move around as if he's considering getting up. Shlishit, if he asks you a third time, poshet at raglav yored, get up, man, and go down and do the job. Turn around on it. There are three things that ruban are kasher. Too much of them are really not good. And a little bit is just right. So this is the Goldilocks and the Three Bears story. Ve'eluhem, se'or, u'melach, v'sarvanut. You need to have just enough sourdough. You put in too much, you kill the bread. You put in too little, it comes out flat. Same thing is true with salt in a stew. And the same thing is true about sarvanut, in the amount in which a person is supposed to show himself as not thinking that highly of himself, ready to respond, but on the other hand, the balance that if he needs to do the job, he is ready and willing. Omer Rav Huna, ta'a b'shalosh rishonot, any mistake that ruined the brocha of the three opening brochas is really all one brocha, because they're all there to be mishabeach, the various hanhogas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam, and that's all one birchas HaShevach, and therefore you have to be chozer l'rosh, you realize that you made a mistake, you go back to the beginning of Avos. You do not start, let's say you made a mistake in the brocha of Tchiyat HaMeitim, you don't start in the second brocha after Magen Avraham, you have to go back to the beginning. If you made a mistake in one of the middle brachot, so remember, we have three opening brachot, three closing brachot, and besides that, we have nowadays 13 additional brachot, and originally we had those 12 additional brachot, altogether making up the Shemona Esrei, and with Birkat Aminim, the Cha Esrei. So the middle 12 brachot, or 13 brachot, any mistake over there when you realize that you've blown it, you go back, says Rav Huna, all the way back to Atachonein la'adam da'at, because Rav Huna views all of the intermediate brachot the same way that he views the first three brachot. So in other words, Rav Huna says, look, basically, the Shmon Esrei consists of three groups of brachot that are sets that can't be broken up. So you have the opening set of the Shevach, you have the closing set of thanking and responding and leaving, so that's all the closing. And then you have the middle, which are the bakashot. You can't just choose like some place in the middle. And if you made a mistake, you go back to the beginning of that long middle set of brachot. So you're chozer liata chonin. If you made a mistake in one of the three closing brachot, you go back to the opening of the closing brachot, which is, of course, ritzei. Rav Asi Amar, it's not true. Those middle brachot, the middle 12 or 13 brachot, with brakat aminim, Ein lehem seder, they do not have to be in that particular order. Now, Rashi takes this to mean, literally, they do not need to be in that particular order. So, in other words, according to Rashi, if you remember that you left out one of the brachas, let's say, you just say that bracha wherever you are, because it doesn't matter what the order is. Tosfos understands and brings many rayas that the meaning of ein lo seder, and that's how we paskin, ein lo seder simply means that you don't have to say it in the Seder in which it was placed, that is to say, by starting over again, so that this bracha now becomes the, let's say, ninth bracha. That's not what's important. But you do have to go back from that place and continue onward. You can't just say it randomly wherever you happen to be and then continue on in a different place. So that ein lo seder, according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, simply means it does not require you to go back to the beginning of Atachonein, and you only need to continue from there in the correct Seder. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, Mehechan Uchozer, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, if somebody made a mistake, you go back to Tchilat HaBracha Sheta'azeh, wherever it was that the guy broke down. Now, according to what Rav Huna says, if a mistake was made in the middle brachot, you should have to go to the beginning of the middle brachot of Atachonein. Is this not, therefore, a tiyufta to Rav Huna? Amalecha Rav Huna? No, it certainly is not. Because the whole point that I'm making is that all of those 12 or 13 brachot are one long bracha set. So when it says over here that you go back to the beginning of the bracha where he was toya, it simply means if he was toya in the three rishonot, he goes back to the beginning of the Shemon Esrei. If he was toya anywhere in the middle, he goes back to Atachonein. That's all that it means, because there are only three brachot, and that's the Tchilat HaBracha Sheta'azeh. You're taking your assumption that the brachot are all separate, and therefore you're asking me, is it Tiyufta? That's not fair. Omer of Yehuda, Lo'olam al yish'al adam tzirachav lo b'shalot rishonot ve'lo b'shalosh acharonot ela be'emtza'iyot. A person cannot view the first three brachot, or the three closing brachot, as opportunities for him to opportune the Lord. Unless, of course, we're talking about things that have to do with the tzibor as a whole, and with the anhogas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the tzibor, which is why we do say those specific tefillos during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, where we add in things that seem to be bakashot, but they're not personal bakashot. Instead, they're expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhoga in terms of those particular elements of chesed and of din and so on and so forth. And therefore, do not use them in a personal way, which would be a violation of the whole point of the bracha. The only place where you can ask your own requirements is in the appropriate middle bracha. Well, let's say if somebody has, chas v'shalom, someone who is ill that he needs to pray for, he can pray for that person in Rifa'enu, let's say. If somebody is in need of parnasa, and he could pray for that person in Birkas Hashanim, and so on. The Omar Rabbi Hanina, Rishono Domele Evet Shemisader Shevach Lifnei Rabo. The first three, the person has to see himself as if he is an Eved who is coming in front of his Odin and expressing the amazing feelings that he has for how it is that the Odin has treated him and how wonderful he is to him and so on. The Emtzayot, there he's Doma to an Eved who is being Mavakish Pras Mirabo. He's asking a special favor from his Odin, so there he can ask. Achronot Domela Eved Shekibel Pras Mirabo V'Niftar V'Holechlo. The very fact that he had the opportunity to speak in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him, in the last three brachot, his attitude should be the opportunity to ask is as if I already got it. And so he's thanking and he's appreciating and he's backing away and accepting in humility what it was, this tremendous opportunity that was given him, and saying his goodbyes, ben ofen of derech eretz. Tana rabbanan, ma'aseh b'talmid echad sheyarad lifnei hateva b'fnei Rabbi Eliezer, v'haya ma'arich yoter midai. As often happens, there was once the guy who was a shliach tzibor in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he was saying all types of beautiful tefillos and the brachas and so on, and it was just going on for a long time, a lot of chazonish and stuff. So Omar le Talmidav, so the Talmidim Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Rabbeinu, this guy is like, come on, this davening is going on forever today. Kama Archanuze, look how long he's taking. Omar lehem, you think this is long? Man, count yourselves lucky. Is he as bad as Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I spent 40 days and 40 nights, man. Look, at least you got a chance to go to sleep, you know. Then there was another maise b'talmid echad sheyarad lifnei hateva lifnei Reb Eliezer. This guy was really one of these 1, 2, 3 guys, you know, and he was mekatzer yoter midai. By the time he finishes chazoras hashatz, you know, half of the tzibur is up to Magen Avraham, you know. So amru lo talmidav, woohoo, kama katzranus, I mean, how short can you make a davening? So Reb Eliezer said to him, look, he's not as bad as Moshe Rabbeinu, you know. Moshe Rabbeinu's big tefillah was El Na Rifa Na La. Okay, it took a lot longer than that. Don't complain. Omar Rabbeinu, basically the message being obviously that there's a tremendous amount of leeway and of personal approach to tefillah, and there's no particular way in which a shliach tzibur has to be. Everything has to be judged, just like we saw with Rabbi Akiva, the way that he would daven under particular circumstances, whether he was troubling other people, whether the tzibur needed to be quick. Davening is something that does not have a single format. And Moshe, the same Moshe Rabbeinu who recognized sometimes that he had to spend 40 days and 40 nights in tefillah, recognized it at other times when Chas v'shalom, his sister needed help right then and there, that now is not the time to sit and to be marek b'tefillah, and to say exactly what needs to be done. And the same thing is true of all of our tefillahs, certainly for a shliach tzibur. Omer Rebbe Yaakov, Omer Rebbe Chista, kol ha-mevakesh rachamim ha-chaveroz. It's another interesting thing that we learn from there, which is note that Moshe Rabbeinu never mentioned Miriam's name. He just said her, kel narefa na'la, which proves that if somebody is davening for someone else, he does not have to mention their name. Ein tzarich lazkir shemo, shenemar el narefa na'la, v'lo komedaker shema de Miriam, where there was no mention of Miriam's name. Now, all of the Mefarshim explain that, of course, this is a very specific case in which Miriam was sitting right there in front of him. So he could say la, referring to her, that woman right here. Basha'inkein, if you're not in front of the chola or the person that you're being mevakish rachamim alav, in that case, you most certainly do have to be maskir shmo. Tana rabbanan, elu berachot she'adam shocheh behem, the following and only the following are the brachos that you're supposed to be mishtachave in the beginning and in the end. We have avot, which is the opening bracha, and that is tchila baruch ata Hashem, and then v'sof magen Avraham, and then behoda'a, which is modim, also tchila v'sof, and also at the end when we say luchona elahodot, which is the closing of that bracha. Somebody who wants to go ahead and thinks that he's doing something special by being mishtachave either at the end of each of the brachas or at the beginning of each of the brachas, we teach him that that is inappropriate and he should not do that, although it is mutter to do that in the middle of the bracha, as long as in the beginning and in the end, when he's mentioning the bracha, he should be in a matzav of amida. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. What we just said is only about regular people. Hediot, Kamosha Amarno. But there are special cases, a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has to be Mishtachaveh Besof Kol Bracha Ubracha. Why? Because the greater a person is, the more important it is for him to show humility in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he has to be machnia himself in every single bracha. And when it comes to a melech has to be mishtachaveh both at the beginning of the bracha, every single bracha, and at the end of every single bracha. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, the Didim Farshili Minei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not the way you said it, but rather what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said was, that a normal person is indeed the way you said, that only those four times, the first bracha at beginning and end, and modim at beginning and end. But a Kohen Gadol has to do tchilat ko bracha u bracha and sof ko bracha u bracha, as the Gra puts in. HaMelech, Melech never gets up. He says Baruch Ata Hashem when he bows down at the beginning, and he never brings his head back up until the end of the tefillah. And we see this from the Melech. What is the tefillah that we've been using as a model for tefillah and for the Mokama tefillah and so on? The introduction of Shlomo at the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash. And over there it says, after the long tefillah that Shlomo HaMelech gave, it says, Vayhi kichalot Shlomo liitpalel el Hashem et kol ha-tefillah v'atchina hazot. After this entire long tefillah, long techina, which was all the bakoshes that he also asked, Kam milifnei mizbach Hashem mikroa al birkav vechapav prusot hashamayim. Only at that point did he get up from bowing in front of the mizbeach, spreading out his arms to the shamayim. So that means that this is the model for what a melech has to be. We don't find that Shlomo HaMelech got up at all until he completed the entire long tefillah. And that's indeed the way that the Rambam paskens. Tana Rabbana, when we talk about the different types of hishtachavoya, so we talk about kriya, we talk about hishtachavaya, and we find in the Torah also another lashon, which is called kida. Now that kida is still nogea us when it comes to tachanun. Remember that our tefillah actually extends directly into tachanunim after the amida, and those tachanunim can be done either through kida or through ishtachavaya. Now, what exactly is kida? So it turns out that all of the various ways in which we're machnia, which we show an aspect with the positioning of our body, of hachno to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of them have the face facing down to the ground. The question is, how does the face get down to the ground? So kida, only the face goes down. So in other words, the person remains standing. This is a difficult thing to do, and the Gemara says that Levi, who did this, actually damaged his back and was part of the reason that he became lame, because he was marakida. And what that means is that you bend over in such a way that your head gets down to the ground. You're supporting your entire weight only on your thumbs, basically. And you can bend over from the waist, which is obviously quite a strain on the back. So that kida is al apayim, only on the head. Where do we go? Your face to the ground. Shenemar, we see that from the pasuk vatikot bat sheva apayim aretz. Kriya is on your knees. And we see that pasuk bikhroa al birkav. That's exactly what it said about Shlomo in that pasuk. He was bowing down on his knees, which means that he was on his knees and his head was facing downwards. Hishtachava, on the other hand, is complete pishut yadayim veraglayim, is putting your entire body on the ground with your arms and your legs just spread out. Shenema havonavo anivi imchavi achechel hishtachavot lecha arza. Arza meaning flat out on the ground. I saw that both Abaye v'Rava, when they came to Nefilat Apayim, note that that's what it's called. Tachanun is called Nefilat Apayim. It's all a function of your head on the earth. Now, there's different ways to do that. You could do that with Kida. You could do that with Shitzachavoyo. You could do that in the sort of formalistic way in which we feel we're not really roi to do. The Gemara says elsewhere that somebody, if he is a Talmud Chochem and he's not 100% sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond to his Nefilas Apayim, that he should not be Nefilas Apayim, because then it's a Bizoyan. Because Nefilas Apayim is giving over oneself essentially to death. And if a person in complete, total self-sacrifice is asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift of Matas Chinam, which is Tachanunim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't respond to him, it's a terrible, terrible Bizoyan for him. And therefore, if he isn't sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in fact answer him, he should not, in public, he should not be nofel al apayim. And many learned that's what Abaye v'Rava, that's precisely why they didn't do it. And that's one of the reasons that we don't do it. The other reason is a very prosaic reason. It is usur to be mishtachaveh on an even maskit. And a normal stone floor, which was the standard floor for many, many years, is considered to be an iser diorisa to be mishtachman. So if you're not careful to put something like a carpet between yourself and the floor, so then you'll be over on an iser diorisa. So in any event, there are many reasons for why we don't literally do the Sfaradim, don't do it at all. The Ashkenazim put their head on their hand and put that on something on a table or usually or something between them and the ground. But in any event, I saw by Avarava that they were bending over on their sides and they did not do ishtachavoya. Tanei Chada, so one brighter said, HaKorea Bohoda Ahareze Meshubach. It's a wonderful thing to be Korea in Modim. V'tani Idach Reze Meguneh. But another brighter says that, no, that's disgusting. How do you explain that? Lokasha HaBetechila HaLabesof. Now, this doesn't make any sense because in the brighter we had before, it said Beferish that the four Ishtachavoyos were Modim Tchila V'sof. So how could it say over here HaBetechila HaVesof? So the truth is, that because of this, there are some Rishonim who say that the Braita before is a mistaken gears and it should not say Hodah Tchila V'Sof, and that there is no Sof. That, of course, is not how we paskin. And actually, the way we understand this is that the Braita before was referring to Modim that we say in the course of the Shmoneh Esrei, whereas this is referring to Modim Derabbanan, where it's usur to be Mishtachaveh literally, because the Rabbanan were only Koveya the Arba and not additional ones. However, you're supposed to be shocha a little bit to show that you're also together with the chazan when he is really saying modim. And when you say the modim derabanan, you should be shocha, but only bitchila, not bisof. Fine, so that adds up. Anyway, that's how some learn. And Rava was kora bohoda'a techila bisof. And the rabanan asked him, why are you doing that? Again, if we're talking about Modim Drabonin, that's a very good question. Amalu Chazina l'Rib Nachman Dekora. Well, I saw Rib Nachman do that, and I saw Rib Sheshes that also acted that same way. V'atanya, what? Doesn't it say in a Braita? HaKorea Bohoda HaRezeh Meguneh. Didn't we explain that that meant Besof? No, I understand it differently. I understand that is talking about Hodula Shem Kitov in Hallel, that is not a place where we were metaken a Korea. That's what it means. How could it mean that? There's another brighter that says Beferish HaKorea Bohoda'a UBehoda'a Shel Hallel HaRezeh Meguneh. So how can you say that when it says Bohoda'a, it's referring to Hoda'a Shel Hallel if we mention that separately? That's yet another Hoda'a. That's referring to Noda Lecha in Birkat HaMazon. And there were some people who would bend when they would say that, and that's also not appropriate. The only time that we rekoveya is in terms of the modim that we say in the Shmoneh Esrei or where we participate with the Chazoras Hashatz. Sir Richard, you're on.
Hey.
Okay, I see Doc is considering very, very carefully whether perhaps he ought to just break in over here and give us a good Litvisha version. But all right, we're going to take it. Thank you, Talis Karebe. Hamitpalel v'ta'a, siman ralo. Somebody who is davening and makes a mistake in that tefillah, it's a bad sign for him. It looks as if his tefillah is being rejected. V'im shliach tzibur, who, if he was davening for the entire tzibur, it's a siman ralo sholchav. It's a bad sign for the whole tzibur if their guy gets rejected right at the beginning. B'pnei sheshlucho shel adam kemoto. It's as if they were rejected. This idea of how the flow of the tefillah and its importance is so powerful that depending on the madrega of the person, amru alav Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shayamit palel ala cholim, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa used to daven for someone, and afterwards he would say, who is going to live and who is going to die? Omer zeh chai v'zeh meit. Amru, how the heck do you know? I mean, I ain't tell you day. I can imagine nowadays if they would ask a rebbe, how do you know? My God, they'd probably shoot him on the spot. Amar lehem, so he said to them, im shigura tefilati b'fi yodea anishu mekubal, v'im lav yodea anishu meturaf. I can tell by the flow of my tefillah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tefillah on this person, so then the tefillah flows. And if he doesn't, then I feel that the tefillah just doesn't, it's not going anywhere. And that's a sign that the Minasha Mayim, they don't want this tefillah for this person. So when we say that if a person makes a mistake, it's a siman ra, and it could be a siman ra for the whole tzibur, which bracha are we referring to is a mistake? Omer Rabbi Chiya, Omer Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Devei Rebbe, it's a reference to the opening bracha, but avot. Now, some learn that this description of which bracha is referring to this bright. Hamitpalel tzarech shechavenet libo bekulam. Someone who is davening, he has to have kavona in the entire Shmona Esrei. Ivi'im eino yochol lechaven bekulan. And how about if he just can't do that? Yechavenet libo ba'achat. Well, at least take one bracha to have kavona for in your Shmona Esrei. And there, Amr of Chiyah, Amr of Safra, it's on that brayta that we have in this version, Mishum Chad de Beirebi, that the reference is specifically to the bracha of Avot, and that there's a special din, a special din that you have to have kavana for that first bracha. Now, this is basically the makor of that beautiful diak that the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik makes in the Rambam, because the Rambam is Seiser himself and says two completely different things. So when he lists the things that are ma'akev the tefillah, he says one of those things is kavanat halev, and there he says kol tefillah she'ina bekavana eina tefillah. Ve'im yitpalel b'lo kavana, chozer umitpalel b'kavana. That means that any tefillah, any of the brachot, that was said without kavana is as if it were not said at all. And you have to go back and you have to repeat it. And yet the other halacha, the Rambam, which reflects this halacha, says not like that. Mi sheyitpalel v'lo kivein et libo, yachzor v'yitpalel b'kavana. Now that's exactly like our Gemara. Make up your mind. One place the Rambam says without kavanah, it's not even a tefillah. Ain't a tefillah. And wherever it is, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to say that tefillah over again. I don't care whether it was one of the brachas in the middle. It makes absolutely no difference. How do you explain the tremendous contradiction? And it's here the brilliant understanding of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, where he's medayik that the Rambam is talking about two completely different dinim of kavana, which I've explained to you earlier. One is the dinim kavana that Gemara is referring to over here, which is a kavana of what it is that you are saying. So over there, you do not have to be mechaven li'ikuva in every one of the brachas. And if you were mechaving to what you were saying in the first bracha, you would be yotzei. And indeed, when the Rambam gives hadracha to humans in general, and tries to give you a pathway to mindfulness and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he talks about the gradual development of first your kavana in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, and how gradually you can expand that. But in the other halacha, where the Rambam says any tefillah that is said without kavanas halev, there he defines kavanas halev as the clarity that you are being omed lifnei hashchina. And as we explained before, that is a description of the state of tefillah. If you're not in a state of tefillah, it makes absolutely no difference what you think you're doing. You're not talking to anyone, and therefore it's not tefillah. It's saying messages to yourself is self-hypnosis. It has nothing to do with tefillah. And therefore, you will not be yotzei any part of the tefillah without that understanding, and you would have to actually go back and say over that bracha, or start over your Shmoneh Esrei from that bracha, as we learned over here. It's the equivalent of ta'ah, which is amazing. Now, halacha l'maisa, because of the fact that the achronim say, well, nowadays, it's not going to do you much good to go back because you probably won't have kavana the second time either. So what's the point of going back and davening since nobody ever has kavana for anything? So it doesn't really make sense for you to try to fix it, because what are the chances that you're really going to fix it? Now, obviously, that is something that a person has to know himself, I would think, huh? So in terms of the chiyev, if you're just going by a book, so then eino chinami, if you don't think you're going to be able to fix it, don't do it. But again, this is a shocking thing. You know, we're used to going through the motions. You know, that's davening. Going through the motions is not davening at all. Some say a little bit cynically that this is why the Brisker Rav never went to daven with a minyan. You figure nobody's davening anyway, so what's the point? Anyway, continuing on. Amru alav Rebbe Chanina. Okay, so we had this wonderful story about Rebbe Chanina ben Dosa, who would be able to say after he davened whether his tefillah was accepted. Minanimili, like, where does he get that from? I mean, you don't have a right to just go and make up an idea like that, you know, because you happen to feel that your tefillah flows, so therefore you can say that that means God likes it or doesn't like it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, yes, of course, Rabbi Chanina learned it from a pasuk. The Omar Kra Borei Niv Svatayim, Shalom, Shalom, Larachok V'Lakarov, Amar Hashem Urefativ. Where there is the creation of Niv Svatayim, of the way that the lips say their words. So Borei, of course, is a double meaning. Borei is the word Bori. If there's a powerful sense of health, flow, and creation in the lips that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, then Amar Hashem Urefativ, that is a sign that I will bring refuah to that person. So Rebbe Chanina said, if he sees that there was no briyut of Niv Svatayim, it's a sign that you cannot apply the refa'ativ, and therefore I say this person is not going to be zeicha to refuah. Om Rabbi Chia Bar Ava, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim, Kulam, Lo Nitnabu El Al-Masi, Bitol HaTalmid Chacham. We're going to see that the reason we bring this in over here is because it's another way of understanding the Pasuk of Shalom, Shalom, LaRachok V'LaKarov. So when it says all of the amazing things that the Neviim speak about, magical things, marvelous things, those are words that are said not for Talmidei Chachamim. Those are said for people who have some shaykhes to Talmidei Chachamim. And they're mizdabek to Hashem l'davka bo by being mizdabek to Talmidei Chachamim. So maybe they'll marry their daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or maybe they'll go into business with a Talmud Chacham, or a pragmatil a Talmud Chacham, or somebody who supports a Talmud Chacham, ahane Talmid Chacham min chasav. But Talmidei Chachamim themselves? There is nothing that any Navi could possibly say about the schar for a Talmud Chacham. Ayin lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha, yaseh l'mechakelo. And Talmidei Chachamim are the ones who await HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yom Rebbi Chia Bar Ava, Om Rebbi Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Kulam, lo nitnabu ela l'yemot HaMashiach. All of these marvelous things, those are not things that have to do with Olam Haba. Those are all physical things that refer to a perfectly functional physical universe and therefore are part of Olam HaZeh by definition. But lo Olam Haba, how could a Navi talk about Olam Haba? Don't be silly. Ayin lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha. Now this is a machlokes, because it's clearly not what Shmuel says, because Shmuel says that ein beino olam hazeh l'yemot ha-mashiach ala she'ibud malchiyot bilvad, shenema ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz. Shmuel said, there is no difference between olam hazeh and Yemot HaMashiach. The only difference is that you'll be left off from problems of the Malchios who right now drive you crazy. You won't have to answer to any Malchios and any of their taxes and nonsense. I'm sure you'll make enough problems for yourself, though. Because it says, after all, Ki lo yachdal avyon mikar v'aretz. It's not going to be an end to needing to give tzedakah. There's going to be plenty of poor people around. I mean, if the world was so perfect the way that you're claiming that this is a reference to Yemot HaMashiach, why would there be all these poor people around? So according to Shmuel, it cannot be, but what Rabbi Yochanan said, it cannot be that these things were a reference to Yemot HaMashiach. Now, of course, the Rambam, in his usual way in which the Ravid points out, not here, but you'd swear that he goes out to drive you insane just to say the opposite of everything you expect. So, of course, the Rambam goes right ahead and paskins both of those things. So he paskins Ein Ben Yemot HaMashiach, Ein Ben Olam Hazeh Yemot HaMashiach, so that he paskins, which is Shmuel, and he paskins exactly the words that Rabbi Yochanan, word for word, that kol hanaviim kulon lo nitna b'al Yemot HaMashiach l'olam habayin lo ra'at Elohim zulatecha. So how in the world could it be true that ein bein olam hazeh Yemot HaMashiach, and at the same time be Rabbi Yochanan? And this drives everybody crazy. And, you know, as the Kesef Mishnah says, Tzarech Ian, he doesn't really quite understand what it is that that the Rambam is saying, because it seems to paskin connected the Gemara. But, I mean, the fact is that it isn't really such a problem, because remember, the Rambam does learn that Yemot HaMashiach, the Olam, is b'tova gedola. And that tova gedola does not include ki lo yechdal evyon mikarav ha'aretz. On the contrary, as the Rambam says, that it's the everything will be, all of the needs will be provided so that everyone will be able to sit and to be able to learn without concerns for parnosa, certainly without being disturbed by the Yemot HaMashiach. That is a given. But he does not necessarily hold that there's a contradiction between saying that all of the metaphorical goodness is indeed a reference to perfection in Olam Hazeh, and that Loyasid Lava, we have no idea of, we can't use metaphors, physical metaphors, for something that is so beyond physicality in terms of Olam Haba. The Omre Pchia Barava Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Hanaviim Lo Nitnabu Ela Lebaalei Teshuvah. All these wonderful things is only what is in store for those who were Rishayim and they did Teshuvah, but Tzadikim, Gemurim, Ayin Lo Ra'at Elohim Zulatecha, which is exactly the opposite, what Rabbi Yochanan just said, from what Rabbi Abbahu said. Because Rabbi Abbahu said just the opposite. Mokam Sheba'alei Teshuvah Omedim, Tzadikim Gemurim Inam Yecholim La'amod. That actually, the Darga of a Baal Teshuvah is higher than that of a tzaddik gomer, shenemar shalom shalom, and this of course is the justification for the entire bringing of this here, because that's the pasuk that we just said, shalom shalom la rachok v'la karov. What comes first? The rachok. That shows the rachok is bereisha, and that's the one who was far from Hashem, and then who did teshuvah, and then to the karov. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, rachok v'karov means shalom l'rachok, the one who was rachok from Aveira. That's the pshat. So rachok midvar Aveira. And the karov is a reference to someone who used to do a lot of Aveiras, and now that person has done teshuvah, and is nitrachek mimenu hashta. So in fact, the rachok comes first. My ayin lo ra'ata. So what is the remez of the ayin lo ra'ata, which we're saying, I mean, it Ayin lo ra'ata has got to refer to something, because otherwise it itself doesn't serve as a useful metaphor for anything. So why are you saying ayin lo ra'ata? What would that be a reference to, that we're supposed to be tofes is something that has been hidden from the eye but is there somehow? Because it means that we did not have a tfisa on an extant thing, but not that something new is suddenly going to come around, right? Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what this is a reference to, is Yayin HaMeshumar B'Anavav Misheshet Yemei Bereshit. That wine was put aside still from the days of Maaseh Bereshis itself. Now, as you know, the more time you give wine to mature, the more the wine comes to include of the process that was surrounding it in the maturation. And the not only is where the wine grew and the way in which the weather and the climate was at the time and place where the wine grew significant, but the way that the wine was stored and the way that things developed during the time that the wine was maturing. That's all part of the incredible subtlety of wine, and it's why it is so much a function of das to be a connoisseur of wine. That's essentially what das is, nichnas yayin yatzasot, and so on. So what that means is that the wine that was put away at the beginning of creation, very similar to the idea of there being a Leviathan that was put away at the beginning of creation, which accompanies us throughout the creation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with, that wine is gathering all through these 6,000 years, is gathering the maturation process that humanity has gathered for itself in all of the incredible adventures of all of the human beings that contributed ultimately to what it means to be human, that becomes part of that wine. That was the wine that nobody yet opened. So it's there, but ayin lo ra'ata. So all of the seidais that come out, therefore, in terms of Torah, those are the seidais of the nature of creation itself. And that takes a long time to mature. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar, this ayin lo ra'ata is a reference to Eden. Eden, which itself is a way of referring to time, is the place shelo shalta ba'ein kobiria. It's always been there, so it's just that nobody ever was shalate on it. Now, don't tell me, what do you mean nobody was ever shalate on it? What about Adam Arishon? Shema Tomar, Adam Arishon, where do you think he was? Wasn't he there? No, he's certainly not. Was Adam Arishon in Eden? Absolutely not. He was in the garden. I thought the garden was Eden. Oh, no. Shema Tomar, hu agan, hu Eden. It says, beferish in the pasuk, v'nahar yotze me Eden lashkot et agan. Now, obviously, there's got to be two different places. If the garden itself is provided for by the waters that come from Eden, just imagine what Eden must be. So that Eden itself is the ayin lo ra'ata. Gan lechud, Eden lechud. We're talking about two completely different levels of reality. Tana rabbanan ma'aseh shechala benosher Rebbe Gamliel shiger shnei tamidei chachamim etzer Rebbe Chanina ben Dosi levakesh alav rachamim. So Rebbe Gamliel's son was sick, and the one that he knew had the keach to be mispalel and to get him a refuah was Rebbe Chanina ben Dosi. He sent two tamidei chachamim to beg Rebbe Chanina ben Dosi to ask for rachamim. Rebbe Chanina noticed that they were coming and immediately figured out they're going to come and they're going to ask me to daven. Who am I that they should have to come and ask me? He immediately ran up to his aliyah and he davened before they even got there. And then as they came out, when he came down from his aliyah, he said to them, you don't need me. Everything's fine. The fever broke. Go back to Rabbi Gamliel. You'll see his son is fine. So they said to him, what do you mean? What are you, some Rebbe or something? That's pretty amazing. Again, if you would ask a Rebbe, how do you know? That would be the end, right? So Amrulo, v'china v'yata. Things have changed a bit, right? I mean, now, even if your Rosh Hashiva tells you, you're going to ask him, v'china v'yata. Obviously, you're Naviata, right? So we asked Rebbe Chanina ben Ozza, so are you a Navi? It's Chashmecha Lila, he said, lo Navi Anochi, lo Ben Navi Anochi. Nothing to do with Navi. There's nothing magic about it. Kach mekublani, I have a Kabbalah. Im shigurat vilati befi yodea ani shu mekubal. Im lav, ani yodea shu meturaf. And I know that that's the way it is. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to daven for this person. I saw that he's completely good. Anyway, Yoshua v'katfu v'kivnu otasha asu. So they sat down and they made simonim about what exact time it was. They took a sighting of the sun and so on to be able to see when they got back what time indeed Rabbi Gamliel's child had gotten better. Uchishabo, it's Rabbi Gamliel, and they compared notes. Amar lam, oh my God, avodah. Precisely at that moment, lo chisartem v'lo otartem, alakacha yamaaseh, it was at that very moment that bo'otar sha'achal atzatochama, all of a sudden the fever broke, and my son opens his eyes and he asks for a drink. V'sha'al lanu mayim. And there was another maaseh, shuv maaseh, Rabbi Chanin ben Dosi shalach l'lmot Torah. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he happened to have come to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to learn, and it was just then that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son fell ill. Amalos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to please, Chanina, my son, Bakesh alav rachamim v'yechyeh. Hiniach Rosho Ben Birkav, right then and there, he put his hands between his knees, and he was Mevakesh El Avracha Min V'choya, because he sensed that it was an emergency. He said, let him live. Apparently, his mom is dying. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, man, I can tell you one thing. If this idiot Ben Zakkai has put his head between his legs all day long, nobody would have paid the slightest attention to him. Lo Ayu Mashgichin Olav. So I don't get it. I mean, I thought this Chanina came to learn by you. Is he a greater man than you are? V'chi Chanina gadol mimcha. So why are you saying that nobody would have paid attention to you? Amal Allah, it has nothing to do with how great you are. When it comes to tefillah, it has to do with how intimate you are. It's a completely different type of relationship. Elohu domek eved lifnei hamelech. He's like an eved who walks in, he comes in, he's like a personal valet, kivayochol takadosh baruch hu. An eved is very intimate. I mean, who else is going to come in? While the Adon is taking a shower, he's going to dress him, he's very, very intimate. So if he's intimate, he can discuss with him intimate things on that type of level. But when I come in, it's like a whole big thing, you know. It's like a sar lifnei hamelech. I mean, I can't even bring up anything personal. Everything is like, wow, big issues. So who am I to bring up my personal issues? I can't say anything to him. And because of that, the intimacy of the tefillah, I'm not zochet to. The Amr Rabbi Chiya Barav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Al Yitpalel Adam Ela Bebayit Sheyesh Sham Chalonot. A person should not daven in a miklat. You should only daven in a place where you can see the sky. Shenemar Vechavein Ptichin LaBaalite Neged Yerushalayim. Before we darshan the Indian that it should be able to be Neged Yerushalayim. But over here we're saying that there needs to be an opening to the sky. As Rashi says, a person should always be able to look up and see the Shamayim so that he has a different sense of his placement in the universe when he's Mispala. Omar of Kahana, I think that somebody just goes outside into the open and he davens in the middle of this valley, Bebakta, I think it's a chutzpah. The Omar of Kahana, so that idea, why is that a chutzpah? The Tosis points out that it says beferish that Yitzchak Avinu was b'mila suach basadeh. So he was davening outside. So how can you possibly say it's a chutzpah if that is the mokar of tefillah? So Tosis has two possibilities. It could be that over there, remember, mila suach basadeh was a reference to Har HaMoriah. And that was a reference to the Beis HaMikdash that he called the Sadeh. And obviously, the Mokum Tvila, that's the place where you're supposed to daven on. That we're certainly not going to say that's chutzpah. We're talking about stomach guy who walks outside. But the other pshat that Tosfos learns is that a bakta does not mean outside. A bakta means a place where everybody's walking by. And therefore, he's going to be disturbed by people. And the fact that he's like these guys, you know, they are basically showing off by davening in the middle of the train station, right? So what are they telling you? They're telling you the hell with everybody. You think it bothers us that 500,000 people are walking by? Believe me, we're Mechavein, Takadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what's going on around us. That's chutzpah. Who do you think you are? So you want to be Mispalo? You'll be Mispalo in a place where people are not looking at you and where you're not showing that you can daven under any and all circumstances. That's the point. But if it's a place where nobody is around, that's not what we're talking about, a bakta. That would be a beautiful place to daven, exactly as we find by Yitzchak Avinu. The Omer Rav Kahana, another thing that Rav Kahana felt was a chutzpah, was chotzi falayman de mefarish chate'e, shenemer ashrei nesui pesha kisui chata'a. Even though when it comes to averes bein odom lechaverei, it's part of teshuva for a person to say, I was chote keneged this person, and I treated him wrongly, and I feel terrible. And that itself is part of the restoration of the relationship and the showing of his concern for that person. And it makes that person feel wonderful, and therefore it brings about shalom and tikkun to the olam. It's exactly the opposite. If a person does that about his chatoim, you know, it's one of the big things in these evangelistic churches. You're supposed to give a whole list of your chatoim so everybody can enjoy viscerally all the wonderful things that you did, you know. So that is considered to be a chutzpah. You don't sit there and give a list. Yes, and I ignored HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing this, and I ignored him in doing that, and everybody looks excited, huh? And that is dafke, the wrong way. And on the contrary, for a person to be able to recreate himself in such a way between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that klape chutz, he could be an Adam Sholem that people are not talking about his Chatoim, that is much greater than being Bechaper on himself by going around and making a fool of himself and saying all of the things that he did wrong. And this is how we paskin. There's two completely different dinim, one Bein Adam Lechaveroi and one Bein Adam Lamakai. And this brings us today to Sir Richard. Hadra Halach Ein Omedim. All right, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we begin a whole new world. Ketzad Bevorchim Al HaPeirot. We're going to now move on to the Birchot HaNenin. Bezrat Hashem.